Let's remain standing this morning as we read the Word of God together. I appreciate the good singing, the good Sunday school time, and the opportunity we have to gather together here this morning in the Lord's house. Isn't it good to be saved? I mean, it's just great to be saved and know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. I'm glad I can say that without a shadow of a doubt. Somebody said, how do you know it? Well, I was there when it happened. Amen. And I, as the songwriter said, I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter number 13. Some of you may ask, wonder why we're going back over this. Well, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I've been studying from two men on the life of Moses. And I didn't really touch on what I'm going to touch on this morning when we went through this. And so we'll be going backwards and forth in it from time to time and doing our best to cover it as much as we possibly can. Okay. And I want to read one verse in the book of Romans. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to read it and then I'm going to turn to chapter 13 and verse number 17 here in the book of Exodus. But Paul writing in the book of Romans and chapter number 8 and verse number 14, he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God,
amen,
they are the sons of God. That's pretty dogmatic, isn't it?
Amen.
As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then over in chapter 13 and verse number 17 in the book of Exodus, the Bible said, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud,
amen,
to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire,
amen,
to give them light, to go by day and night. The Lord took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's talk to him in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the good Sunday school time we had. Thank you for the good song service, the fellowship with God's people, and the privilege of being here. I do pray, Lord, that you'll anoint the preacher this morning with power and unction, that you'll bless the hearts of your people, that you'll save sinners, get glory to yourself, give us liberty and divine help for you this morning in the house of God as we do our best to preach the word that you've laid upon our heart. Make it a blessing to the hearers and conviction to the sinners that they might come to Christ and be saved. May your name be exalted above all names and magnified this morning in our midst. And we'll thank you for what is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. The Bible said here in several times in the verses that I just read to you, but even in the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and verse 14, as many as are led, he said, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Lord mentions here in verse number 17, he talks about God led them through the way of the land. And he mentions again in another verse, by verse 18 maybe, but God led the people about. And then, of course, in verse number 21, it talks about the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way by night. And so I want to try to preach this morning, if God will help me, and I'll try not to be very long, and I mean that. I've been trying to cut back for my health's sake, for your sake, But I want to preach this morning for a little while on the thought of God leads His dear children along. Amen. Old Brother Roloff used to sing that song all the time, some through the water and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, Amen. God leads His dear children along. Amen. And I think that's made pretty evident this morning out of the text that I read, both out of the book of Romans and here out of the book of Exodus, that God does lead His children. And if He's leading us, then that means that God is going before us. God will never lead you anywhere that He's never been before, and He'll always go before us when He leads us. But God leads us through this pilgrimage below, this life that we have here below. God does lead His dear children along. Now, as the Lord led the people of Israel, His people, from Egypt en route to Canaan, even so God leads you and I today. And it may not seem to be the way all the time, you know, that the way that we want to take, but I'll tell you, God knows exactly the right way and the proper way that He wants to lead us along. It may not seem to be the best way in our eyes, but the Lord never allows His children to venture along a way that does not have our best in mind. And Israel's journey here began, the Bible said, from the land of Ramses, and they made their first stop in Sukkoth. I know that from chapter 12 and verse number 37. He talks about in chapter 12 and verse number 37. He says, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside the children. Now the word Sukkoth means tents. And I think the Lord, you know, the Lord leads us in a way that He wants us to understand. God doesn't want us to be in darkness. That's why He gave them the pillar of fire by night. God doesn't want to lead us in darkness, but God wants to lead us in light and give us understanding of what He's doing in our life. And when He led them through to Sukkoth, that word literally means tent. And I think the Lord did that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think He was letting them know that they were going to be on a very long journey. You know, it didn't shock God at all when they turned back at Kadesh Barnea and spent 40 years in the wilderness. And so I think God was telling them that their journey was going to be long, and also that not only the journey was going to be long, but they were not going to have a permanent dwelling in that land, living in a tent. And that's, by the way, this tabernacle that we're living in now, in the book of Corinthians, God calls it a tent. And He's simply telling us that this is not our final home. And we're not going to live in this body of clay long. God has got a body prepared for us that we're going to live in. And so He tells them here that they're not going to be dwelling in this land long, they're going to be dwelling there for a long time, but it's not going to be permanent. It's not going to be a permanent time at all that they dwell there. Now, they did not take the shortest route either. They took the longest route. Now, if that had been you and I, we wouldn't have tolerated that 5 minutes. Somebody said, how do you know that? From the text that I read in verse number 17, the Bible said that God did not lead them through the land of the Philistines. He said, although it was near. In other words, that was the shortest route was through the land of the Philistines. But God said, I'm not going to lead them that way. I'm going to lead them on the longest route, lest they see war and they turn back into the land of Egypt. Now, Israel probably didn't see that. And when God began to lead them by the way of the wilderness, I'm sure they thought, why on heaven's name is God leading us in this longest route? Well, there are some reasons why God did that. And there's some reasons why God will let you and I go in that. I won't say this, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but God's not going to let you and I take any shortcuts. There are no shortcuts in the Christian life, ladies and gentlemen. It is, that's right, it's God's way, all the way, or it's no way. Now, you can believe that or not, but I'm just telling you there's no shortcuts. God's not going to let you and I cut any corners. He knew the path He wanted to lead Israel in, and He led them that way. God knows the path that He wants you and I to follow, and He's going to lead us in that way also. And I think we find really in condensed form in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 8 why God led them in the way that He did. Let me read this for you in verse number 1. It says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember," get this now, "thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or not. And He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." And get this, He said, all that 40 years, He said, "Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell all those 40 years." Now I'm going to tell you, that's an amazing God that led Israel 40 years in the wilderness, and their clothes, they didn't deteriorate one bit, their feet didn't swell, their shoes didn't wear out, but God led His dear children along. Now, if God done that for them, what makes you and I believe that the Lord can't do that for us today? I will tell you, God can and God will lead you and I along the right way He wants us to go. Now, it may be the long way, but I'll guarantee it's the best way. It may be the most problematic way, but it'll be the best way. It may be the most troublesome way, but it'll be the best way. It may be the most afflicted way, but it'll be the best way. God leads us along that He might instruct us, ladies and gentlemen, in the Word of God and teach us how we are to live in the presence of the Lord and in this sinful world that we're living in today. Amen. Now, what's God's purpose in this journey? Well, I just read it to you, but I want to say it again. He said there in the book of Deuteronomy, to prove thee. I want to prove you. To find out whether you're going to walk in my commandments or not. Now that's right, He took them on the long way that He might prove them to see if they're going to walk in His commandments or not. And then He said, to humble thee. Oh my. Boy, He knew they had a proud heart. God said, I led you that way. He said, you got upset, and they did. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when they come to the waters of Meribah, they were mad. They didn't have nothing to drink, didn't have any food. They got upset. Every time you turn around, Israel is getting upset with God about how He's leading them through that wilderness. But God did that He might humble them. I'm going to tell you, hey, it ain't going to do us any good to get mad about where we are living. Oh, we just might as well nail her down that we are where we are in this life, in God's will, because God wants us here, and God will lead us the way He wants us to go. Well, and it ain't always going to be a bed of roses, but it will be the best way that God has for you and I to travel in. That's right. He said, to humble thee. And He said, to know what is in thine heart. Now, I'm sure that there were disappointments of these trials, and those disappointments may have chilled their spirit just a little bit. That may be our problem today. You see, most of God's people don't want to go through the trials. But I'm telling you, hey, there's going to be trials of affliction for you and I. Amen. That's right. We might as well nail that down. God is going to try our faith. Amen. God's going to not only try our faith, He'll try our love. God is going to try our heart. God's going to try everything about us. You might as well put that down. And we're going to go through trials and afflictions. And they're not there to hurt us. They're there to help us. I can't help but think, Peter. When the Lord told him, said, Peter said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But he said, nevertheless, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Amen. Boy, you look at Peter. I'm going to tell you, he had it pretty rough down the line a little bit. He got beaten once that I know of. He got thrown in prison twice that I know of, and God brought him out all of them. Now, if that'd been you and I, they would have wondered, God can't be in this or I wouldn't be getting beaten. God can't be in this or I wouldn't be in prison. I wonder what Paul thought when they stoned him and left him for dead. Paul, man, God said, I know God ain't in this because I wouldn't have been stoned. Oh, yes, God was in that. And God was there. God was there leading Paul along that he might teach him in the way that God wanted him to go. Amen. Now that purpose, there may be some disappointments. These trials may have chilled their spirit. Their bereavements that they had may have rent the deepest cords of their affections. Can you imagine God leading them along and them watching their loved ones die there in the wilderness? Can you imagine how bereaved they must have been? How their emotions were touched? How bereaved they were watching their loved ones go out to meet God? And I'm going to tell you, God just kept leading them along. They just kept following. I'm going to say this. I'm going to get ahead of myself. They didn't all cross Jordan. But I'm going to tell you, God brought some of them down to Jordan. I'll tell you by the word and the authority of God, all of them didn't go, but He got the ones across that followed Him in the way. God got them across. Those that were obedient in the way, God got them across. Amen. And I'll tell you, God will get you and I across too. Amen. That's right. There was disappointments. There was bereavements. And then there were afflictions that may have even just cost them just a little joy. I wonder if that's what's wrong with us today. Brother Gray touched on that in Sunday school this morning about our joy. Not having really all the joy that we ought to have. Well, maybe it's because that these afflictions, we're having some afflictions. And we don't really enjoy them. But I'm going to tell you, Paul said, I've learned whatsoever stay down in there with to be content. Right. Amen. Right. Hey, and I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to let anything, and I've preached my heart out on this to some. God will never let one thing come into your life that it is not for our good and the glory of God. Amen. Amen. God leads His dear children along. He set that cloudy pillar in the daytime and that pillar of fire at night, and God led them through the wilderness the way that He would have them to go. Whether there was no water to drink, no food to eat, God led them along. If there were battles to fight, God still led them along. God leads His dear children along then, and God leads His dear children along today. Now He did it that they might, He led them that they might meet frequent trials of faith. Now, somebody said, you mean a lot of them? I mean a lot of them. Amen. When I say a lot of them frequent, I mean a lot of them. It seems like you're in one, coming out, and into another one. That the trial of your faith, all being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, Paul said, Peter said. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The trial of our faith is more precious than gold that perishes. And I'm going to tell you, the more you're in the fire, I'm going to tell you, the purer you're going to be. Amen, I'll tell you. We don't like that fire, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the longer we're in the fire, the more frequent we get in that fire, the purer our hearts are going to be for God's honor and God's glory. And the better Christians we're going to be for His honor and glory. So God led them along. His purpose of that journey was that they might meet frequent trials of their faith. And then secondly, that they might experience numerous manifestations of God's presence and love. God led them the long way, that they might have numerous manifestations of God's presence and God's love. Now, if you can just get a hold of that. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you talking about? Well, what about their experience at the bitter water? They have any water to drink. They cried out to God. They murmured and complained. But can you get a hold of this? God could have cut them off right then. And would have been justified in doing so. But He didn't cut them off when they complained. God manifested His love to them. And God manifested His presence to them. When He told Moses, said, just cut down that stick. throw it in that water, and it'll be sweet. And I'll tell you, it turned the water sweet. That made them happy, didn't it? Amen. God manifested His presence to them and His love to them at the waters of Meribah. What about when they had
no food and they cried out, "We're hungry"?
God said, "Well, I'll send you manna from heaven." And I read to you just a moment ago over in the book of Deuteronomy that God gave them that manna that they might know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, do Baptists good to learn that today as well. We don't live by bread alone. No, sir, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. That's right. Praise God, to learn the commandments of the Lord and be obedient to the word of God. What about when they got to the water that came out of the rock? They had nothing to drink. God told Moses to just go up there and strike that rock, and water came out of it. He struck it the second time, was supposed to spoke to it, and water still come out of it. You think God was leading them in the wrong way? Hey, no, the long way was the right way. The longer they were there, the more of God's presence they had. Now I'm going to tell you, hey, one thing I found out, God will never leave you in the fire, ladies and gentlemen. God will never leave you in the midst of that trial. Oh, no. And God will never leave you in the journey that He set us on. We may not understand everything, but I'm going to tell you it's for our good and for the glory of God.
Amen.
Some of you in here have lost loved ones.
Amen.
You don't understand why. Some of you in here have lost children. You don't understand why. If God's with me, why would God lead me in this way? Some of you in here have suffered affliction. You wonder why. Why would God do that? I've heard Him. And I say this biblically. I've heard fools say in the paper or on Fox, "Well, if there was a God, why did He let this happen? If there was a God," I heard somebody say the other day, "if there was really a God, why did He let all that stuff happen to the people of Japan?" I'm going to tell you, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." But I'm going to tell you, even God's people, as we go through these trials on our journey toward heaven, and we're going there by the grace of God. It's a bumpy road, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going there by the grace of God. And every step of the way, if we're walking right in the will of God, God will lead you and I. God will lead His dear children along every step of the way. That's right. God will give you the job He wants you to have. Amen. God will give you the children He wants you to have. God will give you the grace to raise your families He wants you to have. Are you listening to me? God will supply every need that you have. We act like God's dead and gone, can't supply no more. And I'm going to tell you, heaven's not shut up. If it is shut up, it's shut up because God, our sins have hid God's face from us. And God's hand is not shortened like Brother Joel said in Sunday school, He cannot save. God's ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. But I'll tell you, our sins have separated us from our God. Amen. God will not hear us. That's the problem. Now, that they might, He led them that way, that they might experience numerous manifestations of God's presence. He led them that way, that their hearts might be disciplined and prepared for the entrance into Canaan. As I said a moment ago, I realized that all of them didn't make it into Canaan. But some of them did. I can tell you two that did. There was one by the name of Joshua. It crossed over as a spy and come back and said, "Hey, we can take it."
Amen.
There was another man by the name of Caleb that crossed over and come back and said, "We can take it."
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what the Bible said about Caleb. It said Caleb had a different spirit about him than the rest of that crowd had.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, God led him along and God let him see the fruit of Canaan. And God, they said, we'd be well able to take that land. I'm going to say to you today on the authority of the Word of God, and if I can liken it to heaven, friend, I'm going to tell you, there's some faith. It's worth every step of the journey we take. You better believe it is. God has got a place prepared on the other side for you and I. There is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you that are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last day. Thanks be unto God, there's a place over there that God prepared that's ready to be revealed for you and I when we take the last step of the journey. God's got a place awaiting on us. Hallelujah. Amen. We take that last step of the journey. God's got a place waiting on us. I wonder, hey, Moses told, Caleb said, this will be your inheritance here. And 45 years later, Caleb went to Joshua and said, you remember what Moses told you and me? Said, I'm just as strong now as I was then. Said, I can still go out and I can still come in. And said, God told me that mountain was mine and I want that mountain.
Yes.
Listen to what I'm saying? Hey, God brought him all the way from bondage. All the way from Egypt. And he followed that pillar of fire by night and that cloudy pillar by day. And when it stopped, they stopped. It moved, they moved. And I'm going to tell you, it came a time when God let them cross the Jordan. 45 years from the day. No, Caleb said, I still want that mountain. And God brought him all the way from bondage and gave him that mountain that he wanted over yonder in Canaan's land. Now I'm telling you by the grace of God that God has brought you and I out of bondage from sin and the power of the devil. Yes, sir. And God's leading us along, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Now I'm here to tell you, He's got a place reserved waiting for us on the other side. That mountain is still over there. That mountain is still there. You better believe it is. Now He led them that way, that their faith made me more calm and unwavering. I'm going to tell you, if God had made everything easy for them, their faith would have never grown. Their faith would have been topsy-turvy and up and down all the time. But God led them the way that they went through many toils, dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. But grace hath brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me on. You better believe it. God leads His dear children along. Amen. I know that that's right. Hallelujah. And God wanted their faith to be calm and unwavering. You see, hey, God didn't want them to get bent out of joint at every time something troubled their life that they thought was maybe shouldn't be there, or something they couldn't understand. Hey, there's a lot of things in life that I don't understand. That ain't going to stop me from serving God. God wants our faith to be unwavering. I don't care what trouble we face. I don't care how powerful the enemy may be. I don't care what direction the world goes in. God wants us to be unwavering in our faith. God wants us to stand strong in our faith. Somebody told me the other day, said, you better be careful what you say on that radio. Said, there's people out there listening. Said, son, tell them what somebody might do down there. Well, I'm going to tell you what they were talking about. They were talking about sodomites. If they think I'm backing up from that, Maryland, another state, Maryland voted in gay marriage rights. And Washington State's getting ready to. God help us. You think I enjoy that? Hey, I'm going to tell you, if we cow down to that bunch, brother, our faith is weak, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not about to cow down to a bunch of queers. Sodomites. Amen, that's right. Now, I'm not about to cow down to a bunch of baby killers either. We've got a, hey, we've got doctors in America and politicians in America that think it's all right to take a baby's life, even after it's been born, turn it around in a womb, stick it back in a womb, take a needle in its brain and suck its brains out of its head that way and say it's all right. How do I say it's sin? That's right. There's booze, liquor and drugs. Oh, they told me, they said, they voted to get liquor in Madisonville. Said, preacher said, you've got things all wrong. Said, we'll make sure that there'll not be any beer cans and trash along the highways and the roadways. Amazed at how many cans of empty cans we've already picked up out of our ditch out front out here. It seems like they pick our spot to throw them out at. I don't like liquor. Amen. And I'm just going to be honest with you, I don't like sodomy.
Amen.
And I don't like gay marriage.
Amen.
And I don't like civil unions.
Amen.
Now what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God has led us this way, and God's brought us this way, that He might give us a faith that is unwavering, that is strong and stable and secure, and will not bend, amen, at the devil's puff. Let him puff all he wants to, bless God. I'm telling you now, hey, I'm about to get excited. Let him puff all he wants to. There's a band of angels. Bless God in heaven, round about every one of us. The Lord said at the mountains or round about Israel, so shall I be around you all the days of your life.
Amen.
God leads us alone, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
That our faith may be strong.
Amen.
And unwavering. Even in the midst of trial and tribulation and persecution.
Amen.
You realize that Egypt has got 16 Americans amongst a group of others that they're getting ready to put on trial. And if they're found guilty, they could be put to death. And the only thing they are is they are a non-profit group that is propagating democracy. That's what they said they wanted over there. Now they're taking Americans and some other people from other nations and putting them on trial. Because they're trying to help get a democracy set up. They don't want a democracy. That bunch of generals that was in charge, hey, of the army, when Gaddafi, wasn't it Gaddafi? Isn't that the one that was in Libya? In Egypt? Huh? Huh? Who was it, we'll see? Yeah, in Egypt too? Mubarak. That's right. He had a host of generals. And brother, hey, they took control and they gave them control when they put him out. They think they changed something? When they put a group of idiots in there that was taking orders from him? You think they changed it? Oh no, they've got the power now. And I'm going to tell you, and they're showing the world and America they're going to keep that power. Amen. They have got 16 of our people over there and we'll not let them go. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, that upsets you. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. I'm ready to go in the parachute myself right now and help get them out. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't made a jump in my life, but I ain't afraid to put my ring on that ringer and leap out.
Amen.
And I'm not a bit afraid to get on my knees and ask God to do whatever needs to be done over there to bring our boys home. Somebody said, preacher, you ought to pray that way. Why not? God wants our faith to be unwavering, ladies and gentlemen. There are people. Somebody said, well, they're probably not Christian. They're still our people.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Cut me, boy, and I'll bleed red, white, and blue. I'll guarantee you.
Amen.
That's right. God wants our faith to be unwavering. Then He led them that way to deepen their love. Or deepen their love principles. Not just deepen their love, but their principles of love. Love will cause you to do something if you love the right way.
Amen.
Love, if our love is right, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. God is love. God wants us to love. Love one another even as I've loved you, love one another. Amen. Oh, yes.
That's right.
Amen. Now I'm telling you, hey, God, but I'm telling you, there's some principles of love. If we love like we ought to, you know what the first thing we do? We'll deny ourselves.
Amen.
We'll deny ourselves for the benefit of somebody, of others. God, that's easy to get a hold of. Christ denied Himself. For our benefit. He didn't have, nobody twisted His arm. From the foundation of the world it was settled that Christ should come and suffer and bleed and die the death that He did on Calvary outside a city called Jerusalem, that sinners like you and I might be delivered from the power of Satan and from hell itself, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
He denied Himself. When He walked up that mountain and bearing His own cross, laid Himself down and stretched His arms out. They didn't have to fight Him like a sheep that was led to the slaughter. The Bible said like a sheep that like called it, and it called her a female in one place. Said He opened not His mouth. He never said one word. When they bent Him over that whipping post, He never uttered a word. But He took our stripes. When He laid that cross on His, when His crown of thorns on His head, not one word. When He laid that cross upon His shoulders, not one word. But when He got upon that cross and started doing business with the Father, it was a little different. He had to fulfill all the Scriptures. He cried, "I thirst." They gave Him gall. They gave Him vinegar to drink. He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?
Man.
Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying, what was He doing? You say, hey, they said, if you be the Son of God, come down. I'm going to tell you, He could have come down.
Amen.
He said, don't you realize I could call 10,000 angels if I wanted to?
Amen.
But He denied Himself for us. And I'm going to tell you, why? Because, I'm telling you, cause He loved us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that the Son of God loves you this morning?
Amen.
Oh, yes, loves you. I said, He loved you this morning.
Amen.
Not just a little bit of love, but a whole lot of love.
Amen.
Not just a whole lot of love, but a ton of love. I'm talking about with all of His love. All God's love.
Amen.
That He has. He loves us this
Amen.
Morning.
Amen.
He denied Himself because of that love.
Yep.
Amen. We deepened our love principle that we might mortify sin.
Amen.
Kill it.
Right.
Kill it.
Amen.
Don't let it make a roosting nest on your shoulder and the top of your head. Kill it.
Amen.
Mortify it.
Yep.
Mortify the deeds of the flesh.
Amen.
And walk in the Spirit.
Yep.
That's why God led them that way. That they might learn these things. That was God's purpose in their life. That God might teach them His way, the right way. God wants to teach us the right way. And I'm going to tell you, the right way is to mortify sin, friend. Whatever it might be. Somebody said, well, I don't have any big sins. I bet you got a bunch of little ones, though. Shame on me. And you too. I'm going to tell you, them little ones need to be killed just as big as them big ones. Somebody said, how do you know? Because it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. That's how I know. Them little sins, buddy. Them little sins is what's killing us. It's not adultery here that's killing us. Oh, no. It's not drunkenness that's killing Island Ford Baptist Church. It's little things.
Amen.
The little foxes nibbling away at the vine.
Amen.
Taking a bite here and a bite there and a bite here. And we're letting it get the best of us.
Right.
I won't say this to you this morning. This is going to make some of you madder than a wet hornet. And I'll tell you what, you get madder than a wet hornet. I've got a fly swatter up here. Come on up here and I'll take care of it. Well, preacher, I just don't know if I can come to church. Gasoline gets any higher. I may just not be able to make it. Is God broke?
Is God broke? Do you think that God didn't know what the price of gasoline was going to be before it ever got to where it is? Oh, yes, God knew. You know what that is? That's a little fox.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Yeah, and I'm not driving. I'm putting any feathers in his hat. But old brother Ricky back there gets up about 4 o'clock every morning, or leaves at 4 o'clock, something to go to work, and never misses a Wednesday night church service. He's here. And I've seen him come in here before and his eyes red as blood, and I thought to myself, I don't see how he can go on much longer. But he keeps on going, and I guess I am bragging on him in a way. I'm using him as an example. What I'm saying, I'm simply saying there's no excuse. Except we be providentially hindered. There's no excuse.
Amen.
I don't care how high gas gets. Can we trust God? God led them that way that they might trust Him.
Amen.
Can we not trust Him? Oh, bless His wonderful name. I've given Him my life.
Amen.
I've entrusted my soul to Him.
Amen.
If we have entrusted our very being to Him, surely we can trust Him for a dollar more than gasoline every now and then.
Amen.
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 I went up the other day and filled one of mine up and it cost $73. And I got four of them. That Camaro's sitting over on empty right now and that may stay on empty. But I got the best on some of you. I can walk across the field. Now I appreciate that. I thank God for that. I can walk across the field. You can't.
Amen.
But I'm gonna tell you, if you ever get to the point where you ain't got the gas, come see Brother Hall. I'll see to it you get it. If I have to drain it out of one of my automobiles and bring you up to the port in your tank, I'll do it.
Amen.
I'll go buy you some gasoline.
Right.
Amen. That's right. I'll get it for you. I wouldn't want anybody to miss church. But he deepens that love principle to mortify sin. And that is love, may influence your entire life. God wants us to be an influence. I'm going to tell you, we influence people by loving people. Showing people that we've got some love and respect for them. Being kind, being courteous. That's right. Letting people know that there's a different spirit about us than they are everybody else out there. That's right. I've been around some people and first thing they want to do, they start cursing. You know, I just want to turn around and walk off. That don't do anything for me. Well, it does do something for me, but I'm going to tell you what it does. Some of you get mad at me. So I'd call some of you to sin if I told you what it does for me. Even them little potty words, I don't like them.
Amen.
I don't even like the slang words.
Amen.
Thank you, preacher. Now, the purpose of the journey, but the progress of the journey. I want you to listen carefully. The depths of our Christian faith, our walk, our love, our obedience, and all other virtues are not perfected immediately, but through the progress and process of time. They're perfected. Now, God knew it took them that long to get there, and He led them every step of the way. The Bible is very clear. In verse 22, He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Not one time did He do it. And God led them on that journey. There was a progress in it. The Lord never grows weary in developing our lives in Christ's likeness. God wants our lives to be developed in Christ.
Amen.
And He doesn't get upset when we've tried and failed. He didn't get upset. They asked that Santorum fellow in the debate the other night, Mr. Romney asked him, said something about the bridge to nowhere. And that was talking about No Child Left Behind and the education. And he tried to defend himself because he voted for it. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Troy. He just didn't use his noggin. If that had been me, you know what I'd have said? I'd have said, sir, it was at a time when we were trying to develop a system in America to educate our children so all of them would have an opportunity to succeed in life and to be them. And I said, yes, it failed. But I'm going to tell you, show me somebody that's never tried and failed. I'll show you somebody that's never tried, friend. I told him, yeah, I tried and failed, but hey, that's not going to keep me from trying again to get something to work. Yeah. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Just because it don't work with you and I and our Christianity the first time, doesn't mean God won't let her work the second time.
Amen.
God's got more ways of working things out in our lives than you've got fingers and toes.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And look here. And the longer they went, the heavier the trials was appointed to them. Now, I don't mind telling you this. I told Brother Steve the other day, I said, I want you to make a copy of what you preached on the Wednesday night. I was in gone, and I want to hear it. Now, listen to what he said. And he's right. Brother Hall's in a situation I've never been in my life. I've never had what I've got right now. I've never went along this way before. But Brother Charles Sadler said, he knows the way. He knows the way. He's been that way. I'm going to tell you, are you listening to me? The trials are getting heavier. The load has got a greater burden to bear. But he's still leading me along. Bless his holy name. I can run my head through a wall. That lets me know that God loves me. Thank God, Brother Gray. He loves us when He lets us lay down the load and burden us down with a trial and a heavier load. He just tried us in a greater way to prove, amen, that we're a child of God. Hallelujah. He's not going to make it any easier. He's going to make it worse. Heavier. Your shoulders able to lift it, bear up under it. I'll put it like this, is your heart able to carry the load that God lays on it? I sit over in that green chair. Yesterday, I went to bed night before last about 9 o'clock. Didn't get up until about 9 the next morning. I hurt so bad and I hobbled out there and sat down in that chair. I studied a little bit and got this morning's message. The longer I sat there, the more I hurt. Now, I'm going to tell you, I sat there until last night and got up last night, stayed in that chair all day, got up last night and went to bed, still hurting. Got up this morning about 5 o'clock, still hurting. I've never been this way. I'm not looking for your pity. But I'm just telling you, as far as bodily pain goes, I have never endured what I've endured in the last 3 years. You ever have the old-fashioned flu and the pain in the body that goes with it? Try to fight that for about 7 or 8 years straight and see how you feel. Now, I'm not looking for your sympathy. I'm just telling you that God may lay something like that on you. And if He does, give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. He's worthy of it. He's doing it to bless us. Not hurt us, but bless us. Hallelujah. Because one of these days, I'm going to lay down my burden by the riverside. I'm going to step out in the Jordan. Hallelujah. And watch its waters roll away at my feet. Glory to God. I'm going to cross to the other side. Amen. To a land where the milk and the honey flow and the grapes of Esco grow. Amen. Beat our swords into plowshares and we'll study war no more.
Amen.
Woo! Sickness will flee away. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more grief. Won't that be wonderful? And we can look back and say, it's been worth every mile of the trip. It's been worth all the pain. All the heartache, all the hurt, trouble, affliction. It's been worth all the persecution. It's been worth it all. Just one glimpse of Jesus. Just one glimpse of Jesus. I'm telling you, it'll be worth it all, ladies and gentlemen. She's the most wonderful, wonderful person you'll ever see. I'll guarantee you, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. And we can look back and say, thank you, Lord, for that pillar of fire. And thank you, Lord, for that pillar of a cloud that went before me. And whithersoever it turned, I turned. When it went up the mountain, I was on the mountaintop. It led me down in the valley. I was in the valley. But whether on the mountain or in the valley, I was as happy as a lark. You know why? Because Jesus was near and dear to my soul and to your soul as well. That's right. In that heavier trials that we might learn to submit while under the load. A lot of people get under that load and they want to buck. God wants us to submit and carry. Sometimes it gets heavy. But He wants us to submit and carry. You know, we're funny people. Ooh. We'll get on our knees and we'll say, Lord, give me a burden. And He does. We'll get on our knees and say, Lord, take this burden off of me. If it was possible, we'd confuse God. Aren't you glad He can't be confused?
Amen.
You know what He's going to do? He's going to stick to the first request. He's going to leave it there. Till He's done with you. He left it on old Job, didn't He?
Amen.
Old Job made a statement something like this at the end of Job. He said, I've heard about the Lord. He said, praise God, now I've seen Him. And he said, I abhor myself. He said, I'm worth absolutely nothing. That's what God wants us to realize today. He leads us along that we might realize someday that we're worth nothing. We're worthless and useless. Amen. We're worms out of a dunghill. That Christ came down. That Christ came down to where we were. Scooped His hand down into that muck and that mire, and by the power of God, He rescued our dying soul. And then He took us and washed us in His own blood. So I need to clean you up just a little bit and get that off of you. You'll make a pretty good looking vessel. I'm done with you. See, this is what He's doing. You know, He's making vessels out of us. It's meat for the Master's use. Hallelujah. That's right. He loads us down with that heavier load and trial, that we might learn to persevere while under greater difficulties. Just keep on going. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. When I was in Vietnam, there was times that I got so tired that I didn't think I could walk. I didn't think I could take another step. But something on the inside said, just take one more step. And just one more step. And I'm telling you, that radio got heavy on my shoulders, and that M16 and 3 days of sea rations and all the ammo and the water I could carry and flares and all this and that hand grenades. I got tired. My shoulders got weary. And I'm telling you, I was not a big man. I figured out I was then. I'm going to tell you, there were times I thought I couldn't take another step. And I tell you, I'd say, just keep on stepping. There were times I didn't want to take another step. Times I saw my buddies and my friends dying in front of me. I didn't want to take another step. But God said, son, if you don't keep going, you're not going to make it either. I didn't want to be a casualty along the way then. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to be a casualty along God's way. Oh, no, I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be a castaway. I want to be used of God, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to be used of God. Amen. That's right. I think that's one reason God still got me here. God wants you to be used of God. We might learn to be able to say through these trials when they get heavier, the load gets difficulty, we can say, thy grace is sufficient.
Amen.
It's what Paul said.
Good.
Then he's chastened us often, but He does so in love. He's wounded us by His providence, but He's healed us by His grace.
Amen.
He's led us in a way that we knew not. But His own presence has always gone before us. God leads His dear children along.
Amen.
Let's stand together.